patience in getting us here safely. Lord, thanks for the service we've had so far, information, knowledge. Pray that you'll be with this money that folks give us. It'll be used to do your will. Pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you.
name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to be running late this morning, so things that we have here that we'll do up front will be short and sweet this morning. The announcements that we normally have at this time will be done after the service, so don't rush off right away until we have an opportunity to bring to you the announcements that we normally do between the services. For our call to worship this morning, I'm going to read from Isaiah, the 12th chapter. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let us continue our worship this morning with hymn number 26. Hymn number 26.
Blessings that are in our lives. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together today, Lord, and to praise and worship you. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with my father as he brings this spoken message this morning, Lord, that your spirit would rest with him, that he'd speak the words that might uplift this congregation and encourage them to build your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that we'd have open ears and open hearts so we might listen and learn, Lord, that we might be your people. Pray, Lord, that we'd seek first to build your kingdom on this earth, that we might bring about your Zion. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I need to make mention that the ministry that is provided for you this morning Josiah Bates, priest Josiah Bates, Elder David Bates, and priest Caleb Postlewaite, and I am Elder Bob Bates. I turn the rest of it over to David for his scripture and his message to you.
I didn't know if we had anything between the morning scripture and the lesson, it says. I'll just go right through it. This morning, again, we don't have a lot of time. So if I speak very quickly, you'll probably have to catch up with me later on to find out some of the things that I'm going to reference. I'm going to turn to 2 Peter right now and read from 2 Peter. It's in the first chapter. Starting with the second verse. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, we're going to step by step, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I apologize for my voice. I've got, I guess, allergies kicking in here. And this kind of clogs up everything. And I work, at my work, I speak on the phone all the time. And it's really been kind of bothersome for me to have this and do that. But I have a button that I can push whenever I got a cough and I don't cough into people's ears. But unfortunately, I'm going to be coughing into your ears because I don't want to turn this off every time I do that. So just please forgive me. And what we're going to look at, though, is I'm going to take that. If you look at 2 Peter again and you analyze it, and I would like you to go home and take a look at it more thoroughly. And I do have a whole class on that one set of scripture there. But if you look at it, it's something I termed in. And I like to take things that were never meant to be good and make them good things. You know, like what happened to Joseph with the coat of many colors, right? That was never meant to be good, throwing him into the pit and taking him out and selling him into slavery and sending him off to Egypt. But God made it good. And so sometimes I take little nuances of life and I turn them to make them good. And so if you look at that, I summarize 2 Peter 2 through 8 as the stairway to heaven. And some of you my age probably know that song. And it wasn't meant to be necessarily referencing God or anything. But I look at it and I say, wow, you know, we can go from faith to charity. And each of those words that are in between, faith leads to virtue and virtue leads to knowledge. And I'll touch on that just a little bit now, because when you have faith, it's like an experimentation upon God's word. And that's what he tells us to do, experiment upon his word. And when we take our faith and we apply it to his commandments, to those principles with promise, it leads us to virtue. And what is virtue? Anybody know what virtue is? If you remember the scripture about the woman in the who came out of her home, she had the issue of blood, she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, and Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Well, you know, there's a throng of people here. There's thousands of people here. How do we know who touched you? All of them are touching you." And he says, "Well, I know, because virtue has gone out of me." And I tried to analyze that. What did that mean? What did virtue mean in that sense? And it was the power of God that healed her, because it says that she was completely healed of that issue that she had. And so I started to understand that this was something that was measurable. You could put it in a, you know, you could measure it in a cup. Because he knew something left. He knew it went out of him. And we also know that by Jesus' example, he would go up into the mountains or away from the crowds in the boat, you know, and replenish that. aspect of himself. And he would allow God's Spirit again to bring back that power. And then he would go and he'd heal more people. And I imagine as that healing process took place, that more virtue went out of him and into those people. So that's virtuous power. And from that power, we say faith to virtue to knowledge. And we take those steps up the ladder till we end up with charity. And what is charity?
The pure love of Christ.
The pure love of Christ. So we're going to try to look at, and when I do that lesson, I call it my four questions. And my four questions are, does God love you? And the second question, that's the first question. The second question is, how do you know? And then we examine that. And then the third question is, do you love God? And the fourth and final question is, how does he know? How does he know that you love him? And so we're going to examine a little bit of that today in what I call Pride and Prejudice. It's an examination of two simple words, which have their two variations. One is pride, and the other is humility. And they have their variations. The variation for pride is proud, and the variation for humility is humble. And so we're going to look at those two distinct characteristics, because I can say that we can summarize our lives by those two words, being proud or being humble. We can summarize it in those two words. And we're going to summarize those two words later on a little bit even more distinctly, because it's going to be quite clear to us through the scriptures what they mean. And what we're doing to ourselves in our choice of either one of those concepts in our life. Okay, I searched the word pride in the scriptures. I went to the scripture search. Everybody knows where that is. You can go to RLDS scripture search, and you can go there and put a word in. It'll search the whole scriptures, bring up every scripture that word exists in. And I did that for pride, and there's 116 verses in all three scriptures that have the word pride in it. At least that's what comes up with the scripture search. And some of those are, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. So we see that pride often is associated with persecution. And later on we're going to read another scripture that calls it contention. And in Psalms 15, that was Psalms 10:2. Psalms 59:12. For the sin of their mouth and their words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, for cursing and lying which they speak. So pride is often associated with lying. Now I'm going to get back. I'm going to come back to that word. I told you that with each of these terms that I would associate them with something, and I'm going to associate pride, because of our time now, with the word lie. If you look at pride, it is a lie. Okay? And we'll take a little closer look at that later. In Psalms 73:6, it says, therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. And where have we heard that before? In Genesis 7:32, it says, and he beheld Satan, and he had a great chain in his hand, and he veiled the whole earth with darkness. And he looked up, and he laughed, and his angels rejoiced. And that was Satan doing that against the saints, because he knew that once he got us hooked on that issue of pride, the lie, that he had us. And we can see that in the scripture that comes from, I think it's the first book of Nephi, in the evaluation of the dream that both Lehi and Nephi had. And they talk about that great and spacious building. And what was it called? It was the pride of the world. Right? It says in that same chapter, it tells us that when the people gave themselves unto pride, then they also gave themselves unto the temptations of the devil. It says, because of the pride of my seed, this is 1 Nephi 3:29, because of the pride of my seed and the temptations of the devil, I beheld that the seed of my brethren did overpower the seed of my people of my seed. And so we lose something when we allow this to happen. going to tell you we lose power. Because what did we talk about faith? What does faith yield? When we exercise our faith, what's it yield?
Virtue.
Virtue is the power of God. And the power of God yields knowledge to us. And then again, with all those other steps included, and we yield ourselves unto the pure love of Christ. Okay, so if we look at First Chronicles 28:9, it says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And so the Lord was asking him to search for God, to find God. And throughout the scriptures, that's kind of what he's telling us to do. Seek first the what? The kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you. And that process is a very dynamic process. It's one that we need to embrace with every aspect of our lives. Because what I'm going to say before we get any further is that I'm going to kind of outline it for you. These principles that we're talking about, pride and humility, is simply understanding who you are and whose you are. You define your life by that understanding. Who are you? You're the creation, right? You're not the creator. Am I correct? You're the creation. God's the creator. And God has, in the creation, created something that is supposed to operate in a certain way. And I use this example, I've used it before. I use the toaster analogy. That if you go and buy a toaster from wherever, Walmart, Sam's Club, wherever you go, get your toaster, and you bring it home, and you pop the bread in, and you push down the little things to make it go, and, you know, a certain amount of time later, the bread pops up and it's, you know, totally burnt, and you say, "Wow, there's something wrong." So I'll turn that knob down. It lightens the toast, and you push them down, and it comes up totally burnt again. Are you gonna keep that toaster? No, because it's not doing what it was created for. It's not producing that which it was created for—good, lightly browned toast, or whatever you know you. Degree you want it. Some of you might like really burnt toast, I don't know. But it's there. It's that, and if you do like the really burnt toast, maybe it's not toasting it up at all. So it's a matter of what were you created for? What were you created for? And God says man is that he might have joy. And in order for us to find that application of joy in our lives, the way God wanted it to be, the way God created it to be, we have to study the scripture. And Jonah was right today when he said that revelation needs to be understood by revelation. And what does God tell us in James 1:5? If any of you lack wisdom, do what? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. But there's a caveat there. That he won't give you anything unless you're willing to obey it. You know, if you're like the waves of the sea or the field, you know, the corn or the wheat in the field, the grass, then he's not going to allow you to have that information because it works to your condemnation. But you can search the scriptures too. You can apply them, and as you apply them, then you have a greater understanding of the nature of God and your own nature. And your own nature. To be proud, it says, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dwelt proudly, he was above them." And this was the example in the Exodus where they talked about those that came out of Egypt. And all the things that, you know, those other guys who were doing proudly were doing, God was greater than that. And he brought that people out, part of the sea for them to cross. And in 1 Samuel 23, "Talk no more of it so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So we know that God, in the end, is going to weigh our actions. He's going to weigh our choices, whether they were good or whether they were fruitless, whether they were humble or whether they were proudful, whether they were vain. And we talk about in the scriptures, you might see the imaginations of your heart. And sometimes that's a good thing. It talks of it as a good thing. But then there's those that are the vain imaginations of your heart, where you lift yourselves up. And Malachi says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And this is right after that scripture that talks about the tithing. We all know that one pretty well, right? And where have you robbed me? And then he goes through the ways in which we robbed him, and how we can overcome that, and how we'd have the blessings of heaven poured out upon us. And he says further, though, he says that your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. How much of that we see today in the world? TV, news, everything. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. And what does it mean to fear the Lord? To fear the Lord, I'm just going to touch on that for just a slight, because that's a whole other class. But to fear the Lord is not to cower before him, it's to have reverence towards him, to honor him. And we'll talk about honor in a moment as well. And now we call happy, proud happy. They that work wickedness are set up. They that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And Jacob 2:25 it says, and now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride, and those of you which have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him because of your pride in your hearts, of the things which God hath given you, what say you of it? And he says there again, I see it. And these people had persecuted their neighbor and afflicted them, and they were proud in their hearts because of the things that God had given them. They started to elevate themselves up above other people because they were saying, I got this. I'm the one who made this. I'm the one who worked 80 hours a week, and now I've got all these things, and I'm going to have it. No one else is going to get it. Where did it come from? You came into this world with nothing. And you'll leave this world with nothing of a worldly nature. And it's a matter of what is God, who is God, who are you, and what is your commitment to that relationship between you and God. And Alma 1:30 says, because they were not proud in their own eyes, and because they did impart the word of God one with another without money and without price, they began to be a very profitable people. They began to be rich. And this happens so frequently in the scriptures that people who turn to God and are humbled by God often reap the rewards when they start to obey his word, when they start to apply those principles to their life that he's given us. And then they become wealthy. And then all of a sudden it creeps into their mind, those vain imaginations, that they did this thing, that they accomplished it. And they separate themselves from God. And for a while they remain wealthy and rich, even in their error. But eventually they're brought down, because those windows of heaven are shut, and no more of the blessings are poured out upon them. It says in Alma 2:8, and it came to pass in the eighth year of the reign of Judges that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linen. Alma 21:28. These are two separate events, probably separated by many, many years. But they grew proud, being lifted up in their hearts because of their exceeding great riches, and they grew rich in their own eyes and would not give heed to their words to walk uprightly before God. And that was the word of those who were addressing this issue of their pride, those disciples of Christ. And also the people who were called the people of Nephi began to be proud in their hearts. And this is 4 Nephi 1:51. Because of their exceeding riches, they became vain, like unto their brethren, the Lamanites. So I hope you make that distinction there, that, you know, when you get to that point where you're loving money and make it your God, or make you the God because you've made the money, then you've separated yourself from God. Now, humbleness. We'll look at that aspect now. And there's 143 verses of that have that word in it. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. So what did God try to do there? What was the humbling all about? Whether you would do what? Keep his commandments. That's why he did it. If you had been keeping his commandments, what would you have been?
Humble.
Yeah, you would have already been humble. You wouldn't need God to humble you. You'd already made the choice to be humble. So, we talked about pride is a lie. What is humbleness? What is humble? The truth. Yeah. The truth. One's a lie, the other's the truth. So, can you teach yourself to be humble? Can you make yourself humble? Can you bring yourselves into the depth of humility? The scriptures tell us that we're to do that, right? That we're to bring ourselves into the depth of humility. And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. In 2 Nephi 6:84, and save they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. Now, sometimes we look at the words humble and humility and we look at them in the connotation that they are negative in life. Most of the world looks at it that way. You look up the definition of humble and humility, it has somewhat of a very negative connotation to it. It's someone who lacks backbone, you know. Just like in meekness, you know, if you look up the word meekness in modern definitions, it is almost less a quality than you want to have. You want to be more proud, you know, in a worldly sense. But humbleness, and when we talk about the depth of humility, have you ever heard someone say that person has a depth of knowledge? You ever heard that before? Or that person has a depth of beauty beyond skin deep. And when we think of those things, we think of positive things, right? When we think of the depth of humility, we should think the same. It's a very positive aspect for us. Because that means that we have fathomed all that God wants us to know and understand. We have applied ourselves to those principles that he has given us in his word that we might be that creation that he created. And if we are, it leads us to power and authority. The true power and authority that reigns upon all the universe. And it eventually brings us to the point where we are enveloped in the pure love of Christ. So much so that charity just exudes from us. And that pure love of Christ lives in us as a people. And I tell you that, you know, a lot of us think that we're going to build Zion. And I really have a hard time with that. Because God told us to seek the kingdom of God. And all things would be added to us. And even in Genesis, it tells us in that relationship of that revelation that was given to Noah, the covenant relationship, the everlasting covenant. It says when we embrace the truth and we look upward, that Zion will return. It will come again. So we need to be focused on those principles, developing those principles in ourselves, both individually and collectively, because it is something that we do together as well. Tithing isn't an individualized thing. Tithing is a thing that's done corporately. Obeying the word of wisdom. How many of you think that's an individual thing, choice? No, it's a collective thing. Because the burden of those who do not obey the word of wisdom falls on those that do. In sickness and in disease and all those things. And God says he gave us weakness that we might know that through him we will be strong. That when we obey his word, even that point of the word of wisdom that he's given us in section 86 of the Doctrine and Covenants, he will make us strong. He will cause the devouring angel that would go over us. And we will not be slain, even as those who were in Egypt. So how do we live humbly? How do we live in humility? Doctrine and Covenants 12:3b says, keep my commandments in all things. And if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you shall have eternal life, which is the gift, which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God. I suggest to you that if you want to be a humble person, if you want to be filled with humility, that you search his commandments. As Doctrine and Covenants 1:7 says, search these commandments, for the prophecies and promises in them shall all be fulfilled. They'll be fulfilled one way or another. I mean, and every prophecy and promise has a two edges to it. You know, one, if you're obedient, you get what the Lord has promised you. If you're disobedient, you get the other side of what he's promised you. Your choice. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Did you know Jesus was quoting Deuteronomy? He said that later on. And he told the lawyer or whoever other people he was telling that to. He's quoting himself, actually, but he said it first. And Jesus said unto him, and this is Matthew 22:36. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the Lord has told us that if we say we love God and we hate our brother, we are liars. And what does lying come from? Pride. So if we lift ourselves up, we become like those people in the Book of Mormon who, when God gave them all that wealth, all that understanding, all those riches, and then they said, hey, I did this. And they begin to have vain imaginations about themselves and about who God is. And they depart from the truth. And the Lord is no longer with them. And they no longer have joy. Because all they have is fear, and not the good kind of fear. Now, I talked about honor. In the scriptures, it tells us that honor is a thing that the Lord will bring to us as we humble ourselves. As we desire to have his word, his principles with promise fulfilled in our lives. It will be honor. Now, how many of you were in the military at some time? Okay. And you know that at the end of your military service, they give you what's called an honorable discharge, right? And that's because you did what? Did all the things wrong while you were in the military and disobeyed? No, it's because you served. Because you obeyed. You did what was required of you. And this is all God is asking. He says he will pour honor out upon you. He will pour his glory out upon you. He will make you rich beyond even your wildest imagination. And I believe this is what happened to the people of Enoch. And we term loosely, you know, the city of Zion. Because they had all that God had to offer upon this earth. And so they were taken up, taken off the earth, to leave those who were the ones who would not choose that to reside in their reward, which eventually became the flood. I'm going to close now. I hope that I've been able to impart to you some of that which I've felt the Lord is leading me to understand that, you know, to be humble, to have humility, is simply to understand who you are. Was Jesus humble? Did he have humility? Did he understand who he was? And did he obey that which was who he is? Yes. He's God. He did those things which were not contrary to his character. Now we have to understand that we are the creation. God has given us a simple guideline in the Word to follow. We have to choose to do that. If we follow it, we fulfill that which we were created to be. And all of the blessings God has to pour out upon us, including calling us his sons and his daughters. I can't believe that that's not an endearing term to our Heavenly Father. Because he loves us so much. He wants to call us that. But he's given us the value of agency and the ability to choose. I'm going to end with a poem. I think I may have read this to you before, called Choice. We talked about it. I think I got it at the first Sunday of the conference. The Lord spoke to me, I believe. You know, I woke up kind of saying these words, and Karen asked me what I was saying, and I said, well, you know, I think the Lord's given me a poem. You know, and so I started writing it down. I just got my computer out and started writing it down. These are the words that I believe the Lord was speaking to me. And it's called Choice. That's just what I call it. As I had a choice to make today of how to live, to work, to play. I had a choice to make today of what I do or watch or say. I had a choice to make today of who I'd be and if I'd pray. I cannot hide what I have chosen. The world around remains unfrozen. It's fluid, dynamic, and thus impressed by what I do, the worst, the best. Our choices are often like the wind, invisible, with strength to bend. But this wind will learn to obey the one who masters how to pray and fast and study the words of life, changing a world of hate and strife, providing others a loving caress to choose the right to do their best. In all of this, you're simply a reflection of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus, perfection. So I want you to take this with you when you leave. That the Lord has a plan for you. And he's outlined it in his word so vividly. The only thing that'll get in the way from us understanding it is if we allow that lie to live in us, that pride, and the temptations of the devil have a stronghold. They become like a chain around us if we allow that to happen. But if we live in the depths of humility, if we obey his word, and strive to understand it more fully every day, and to apply it to our lives, again, eventually we'll be encompassed in the pure love of Christ. And we will live in charity. And there'll be no poor among us. And we'll be able to be that people that has embraced the truth and looks upward and Zion will return.
Kindly remember that after the final benediction, you'll just remain for a few minutes while we have the announcements. We put them at the end at this time. Let's close our service by the singing of hymn number 519, God Bless Our Native Land.
By your hand. Lord, I'd ask that you'd be with us, that you might give us the wisdom to be able to see through those lies that we tell ourselves, that we might recognize that without you, we are nothing. Any gifts or talents or things we think we might take pride in, we know that they only work because of you. And even the breath that we take for granted 1,000 times every hour, Lord, we know that that is supplied by your hand. And so please help us to be able to remain humble in that understanding and live each day attempting to serve you as best as we can and attempt to live our lives as you would see fit. We ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.